This is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. This one is called Weddings Without God. It's found on USA Today, and it was posted by Amanda Green at 11:26 a.m. on May the 26th, so 2 short days ago. Wilmington, North Carolina, so 2.5 hours from where I'm sitting. Amanda Hallowady didn't need God to get married. She just needed her husband, Mike. When the Wilmington atheist couple decided to join their lives a year ago, they knew they wanted a secular wedding celebrant, but their families weren't so sure. Her family's Methodist, and he's generally spiritual, and they worried about even telling Mike's grandmother, who's Eastern Orthodox. So they found a wedding celebrant ordained through the Humanist Society, Han Hills, who allowed their family members to read a spiritual poem. "Nobody seemed to notice that we didn't mention God," Hallowady said. "People came up afterwards and said it was one of the best weddings they'd seen." Well, what are they going to say? Your wedding stunk? It was horrible? You got people that are just like you at your wedding, folks. I mean, what a ridiculous quote. With the rise of the nuns, that is N-O-N-E-S, the 20% of America without religious affiliation, more couples are looking for wedding celebrants or people up there refereeing who don't mind skipping God's blessing on the ceremony altogether. Let's just say a word here, listener, about ceremonies. The reason we do them, if you want to reference Joshua 4, where Pastor Sean preached on Sunday morning, the reason we do them is because it's like a monument. It's a memorable thing. It's easy for us to remember a baby dedication, a trip down the aisle, a in ranks inspection, a baptism, a changing of the guard. Think of all the memorials and ceremonies we do. Funerals, memorial services. We do those because they're easy to remember. And in every case, especially in the church, when dealing with baby dedications, funerals, weddings, trips down the aisle, prayer meetings. The reason we do these things is because they are a physical act that enables us to remember an event easier. So when we read that they don't mind skipping God's blessing on the ceremony, okay, then my question is, what exactly is the purpose of your ceremony? More national atheist and humanist agencies such as the Humanist Society and the Center for Inquiry are developing ordaining programs to establish non-theist ministers in most states to perform weddings and funerals. The Center for Inquiry began its certification program in 2009. There are currently 138 celebrants listed as ordained through the Humanist Society, and some perform weddings in multiple states. The Center for Inquiry has 23 celebrants. Because of the demand, she's seen more marriage and funeral celebrants. Florida humanist writer and blogger Jennifer Hancock is considering writing a book about the secular approach to marriage. What's missing, she says, is advertising for leaders in the humanist community who can fulfill ceremonies for life cycle events. Only a handful of ordained celebrants listed on the Society's websites also advertise their services on a personal page. Former Army medic Richard Cotter advertises his services in and around New York at humanistcelebrations.com. California Humanist Minister William Rausch advertises his memorial, baby naming, wedding services at ebcelebrant.com. As soon as you do the advertising, people are like, yeah, I want that. When I got married, I was worried. I didn't want any religious references in my wedding because I didn't want to start out the most important relationship of my life with a lie. Okay, let me just stop in there and say, I applaud someone who is honest enough to say, I'm a reprobate. I'm an infidel. I appreciate that, because it makes less of a mockery out of the church. I wonder if more people were willing to just do what they believe. I've got to wonder, listener, would the divorce rate be less in America for churched folks? I mean, let's be honest. Most people who are in church, many is a lot different than most, I'll agree. Many who are in church do not always stay in church. So you get in church, you're married, it's the right thing to do, you know how it is. We have kids now, so we think we ought to get into church. Well, how about because God says to? Does that matter to you? No, we're married now, it's time to settle down and get into church, as if you weren't supposed to do that before. So people get in for a felt needs sort of idea. The felt need comes and goes, they get out of church. They get out of church, and invariably, just like the rest of the world, they get a divorce. You know, I gotta tell you, in our church, I can't tell you about your church, But a Berean Baptist church, people who stay in our church don't usually go through getting divorces. I can tell you that it happens very seldom, that before they become members, they leave. Because they know our stand. They know that if you just decide to forget about what the gospel says about loving someone who's acting unlovely towards you sometimes, usually they'll stop coming before they even become members. So this whole idea, well, the church has as high of a divorce rate as the world, maybe in your church, maybe if you didn't vote someone in the moment they walked down the aisle, maybe you wouldn't have the same problems in your church membership that the world does where they are. Incidentally, I appreciate this person saying that they don't want to be a liar. But my question is, whose idea is marriage anyways? Matthew 19, the Pharisees came to him, tempting him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for every cause? And he, Jesus, answered them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they shall twain be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then give a bill? So he starts talking about divorce. But this has been the way it is since the beginning. A man marries a woman. It's the whole reason why we are not for homosexual marriage. Well, for one thing, homosexuality is a sin. It's against the will of God. And so just like divorce is a sin, so homosexual marriage is a sin. Homosexuality of any kind to include a marriage. But really, we want to go further than that. We want to say a marriage without God is a sin. You're taking something God designed and you're taking his name off of it? You think that glorifies your creator? You say, well, I'm an atheist. Then I'm okay, well, then why are you using a God-ordained thing called marriage? Why don't you just agree to be good friends, good bedfellows, good live-ins, good shack-ups? Why don't you agree to do that? Why use the terminology that has been seated in Christian orthodoxy? Why do that? Why don't you be honest about that? And the truth is because you haven't thought about it that deeply. The honest truth is that atheism is absolutely illogical, irrational, and we're the ones, the Christians, the Bible believers, are the ones that are seen as the idiots with a crutch known as God theism. So don't be bullied, Christian. Don't be bullied by the person out there that says, well, we want a marriage without spiritual reference. The whole idea of marriage is a spiritual reference. It's unfortunate that people don't see it. It's absolutely irrational to say we want something that God designed and we don't want God involved with it. True honesty would say we don't believe in marriage. That's what true honesty would say. Not just we don't want God in our marriage because we don't want to be a bunch of liars. No, true honesty says we're not going to use God's institution. We're just going to be shack-ups and non-committed. So, well, that's my two cents, and I think I have the mind of Christ. Thanks for listening.